Welcome to Bethel Cleveland's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy today's message. For more information on this podcast or how to get connected, go to BethelCleveland.com.
Genesis 26 says this, Isaac sowed in the land. This is the land, right? Cleveland's the land. Isaac sowed in the land, and the same year, a hundredfold, the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I always love that verse. It's like God can't stop because he began to prosper, continued to prosper, and was very prosperous because he tithed. That's what the word is used in the New King James. He tithed that tenth into it, and the Lord began to open the windows for prosperity. So I pray that for you also. May the Lord bless you, favor you, prosper you, and keep you in good health even as your soul prospers. By the way, we had a great testimony this week from Kat, who was in our school. Kat, she said she learned a lot from Tommy Zito. As a matter of fact, she got to use it last Saturday at an outreach with Brian and Iris. We were part of the Middleburg campus. Dale, her husband, said Dale and I led two to the Lord for the first time outside the walls of the church. Let's thank the Lord for that. That's good. We usually pray for people, but when you said nobody should get healed without knowing Jesus, that really hit home for us because they prayed for a lot of people in the streets to be healed, but never just came to the point of asking if they wanted to receive Jesus. Now that they're doing that, people are coming into the kingdom. One simple thing, share the gospel, ask someone if they want it. I talked with two elderly ladies at Panera getting into their car this week. I asked them, they didn't understand me. Watch out with older folks, they can't hear what you're saying. You've got to really be clear. And I said, are you Jesus followers? And the one lady said, what are you talking about? The other lady said, he's asking. If we're Jesus followers. She said, of course I'm a Jesus follower, you know? It's okay. So I laughed with them a few minutes and then we left. So watch out, there's Christians out there too, and they may need another little sprinkling of Jesus during that period of time. So let's go to Matthew 13, 1 through 23. Matthew 13, 1 through 23. We referred to this last week, but I preached out of 2 Corinthians 5. This week, though, I want to go deeper. As I was thinking this week, I was thinking of the sower and the seed. And this all goes so well with our whole Flourish series that we've had since the beginning of the year, that we want everyone to prosper and be in good health even as their soul prospers. It's really our goal for the soul prosperity. And that soul affects the rest of you, your health, your destiny, your peace. I believe it opens everything in your life. It is that automatic door in heaven that I talked about last week. The closer you get to God, as you move into God, as your intentions are for God, as you serve him and follow his principles, that does not get you to heaven, but it helps you taste heaven on earth. So the only thing that gets you to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. But we're not there yet. So we're learning how to explore the principles. Jesus said, learn of me. So we're studying him. This is what he said out of one of his, I think they now think it's 40 parables, 40 parables in the Bible. This is one of the more famous ones. Chapter 13, verse 1, Matthew says this, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. I follow Jesus in that periodically and go to Florida. I love it. Follow Jesus' example. Number two, and great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So there he is in the boat. People are on the shore. It's a natural amphitheater. Verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, and because they had no depth, everyone say no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. When the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. So you see there's some seed that's actually going to get in the soil, but may not take root, may be stolen by a bird, or it may even grow a little bit, but then the circumstances around them choke it out. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 8, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's repeated over and over in Scripture. In Revelations alone, it repeats this phrase, basically the same phrase, 7 times to all the 7 churches. So this is a constant ringing in our ears. Keep your ears open. Listen to what's saying. So I encourage that over the next 24 minutes. Keep your ears open. Hear what's saying, because it's not just what I say, but it's what the Holy Spirit will speak to you through what's being talked about. I found that all the time. I find people come up to me and thank me for something I said that I never said. They do. They go, oh, when you really talked about marriages, you know, it was amazing. I said, I didn't talk about marriages today. I don't tell them that. I just go, oh, thank you. There's a lot of study that went behind that. So to he who has ears, let him hear. Now, I noticed this week. I've noticed it before, but I had special revelation this week. That there's the above ground thing that's going on with the sower. The sower in this example is Christ, it's God. Got a sowing seed. The seed is the gospel, it's the word of Christ. This basically, traditionally, has always been interpreted as an evangelistic kind of parable. It's sowing seed, it's sowing the gospel. So it tells us a lot of things, which I mentioned a few of these last week, so I don't want to repeat too much of it, but it tells us that our sowing should be careless. It's willy-nilly, it's to everybody. It's not gonna take everywhere. But that's not your responsibility because you have no control over the soil. And I'll tell you why in a minute. You're the sower. You sow the seed. So God in his perfection sowed a perfect seed, the gospel. But that seed could still be robbed. It could still be burned out. It could still be choked, even though it was a perfect seed, because it's the seed that's perfect, but the ground is not. The ground is the only thing we have control over. Not we as sowers. You see, it's inverted here. We are a sower at times in our life, but we're always the ground. We're always ground that is receiving the seed of God. And not only are we receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, but some of these parables, and this is one of them, can be stretched as a template over your life. This can be a template for your marriage. See, I mentioned marriage. Now someone's gonna be able to come up and say that. It's like a template over your marriage. It's a template over relationships. How many of you are single and would like to be married to the right person someday? Raise your hand in the room. Man, that's really, really high. Come on, are you desperate or not? Raise your hand. There's 4 of you, okay. They say it's like 56% of any congregation in America. Are single, young or old, looking for that person that God might bring in their life. I think this is a template. I think if you're a business person, I really like to explore this part of it because we're in a kind of a finance subset to flourish, and I will next week in much more detail. I've come up with 5 principles that are drawn out of here that can help you build a business because it's all about preparing the soil. If that's what we really have control over, not when the seed comes, where the sower is, anything like that, or even the harvest, so to speak. All we have to, it's the soil. And the soil is determined and understood in Scripture and through commentaries throughout history as being the heart. Now, the heart is a question because the heart is both the heart and the soul because no one really understands the triune aspect of humanity. In fact, some people don't believe it's triune aspect. It's spirit, soul, and body. So when you're an unbeliever, when you're not following God, when you were born and raised, your spirit is dead. It's kind of asleep, dead. Your soul takes over as a human being. Now you may have influences in your life, you know, good morals and things like that, but your soul learns from that. And your soul basically directs your body which directs where you go, what you do, what you look at, what you listen to, what your how your mind develops. Remember, the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So that little committee deep inside of you, mind, will, and emotions, determines sometimes the emotions rule the life. Something becomes king in your soul. It's either your mind, and you really get into academics, you get into studying, knowing things, understanding things. You're a YouTuber, you're on there all the time learning how to fix the faucet or something like that. It's the mind, it's about the mind. And the world we live in right now, thanks to the Enlightenment period, 400, 500 years ago, brought science in and math in such a way that it became a god of sorts. And yet we realize that it's got issues too, because all the science we know is the science we have in this time in history. And history has proven to us that science sometimes can be proven wrong 50 years from now. And it already is. Now it's being proven wrong by the week, it seems. So your mind, your will, and emotions, some people's will rules their life. I'm only going to do what I want to do. That's it. Okay, so when the Bible looks at this, it looks at the soil. And if you're ruled by your mind, will, and emotions, you are hard soil. You're hard soil. It's soil that needs to be broken up. And so life gives us broken opportunities. You ever notice that? Opportunities to be broken, opportunities to be wounded, opportunities to be hurt. But if you're tough enough and you're hard enough, it's not gonna bother me. I've got a will. Some people are ruled by their emotions. I don't feel safe right now. I don't feel secure right now. If you live your life in that, it's gonna be a miserable life. What happens is, though, in Jesus Christ, when he comes, it says in Ephesians, it says in Romans, it says probably in every book of the Bible in the New Testament. It says when Jesus arrives, basically the lights have been turned on and the Spirit has been animated. It comes to life. Because the Spirit of God, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickens you, your mortal body, and you, when you're born again, you're being born again in the Spirit. In fact, it says in John 3, born of the Spirit. So now the Spirit moves in, full of the Spirit of God, and takes over where the soul left off. So the Spirit begins to learn the Word of God and teach the soul. You see how this is an inner battle? Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions become subject to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, through your spirit that has taken over your life. And your body will change according to whatever the soul does. So in many ways, the Spirit is the ruler. It is the ruler. It speaks to it makes the soul its slave. You will do this because this is what the Spirit and the Word says. Your spirit will make your body ultimately lift its hands because that's what the Word of God talks about. Lift your hands, all you people. And so if you're in a service and your will's still saying, I don't like lifting my hands. It feels religious to me. I don't like lifting my hands. I'm just tired. I don't like lifting my hands. I'm not even sure if that's good for my neck. You know, all these things that we think about, I don't want someone to look at me and think I'm better than that. Well, by then the song's over. Spirit comes in and energizes us and says, lift your hands. There's breakthrough in lifting up your hands. Physical actions have responses in heavenly realms. Things you bind are bound there. Things you loose are loosed here, loosed up there. It's amazing. The Lord's made it that heaven mirrors earth. It should be the other way around. Earth mirrors heaven. That's right. Well, if you mirror heaven, heaven will mirror earth. Let's think about this week. You know, the Jews say, we believe heaven is coming to earth. And I thought that was really good. That's our slogan, one of our sub-slogans as a church, heaven on earth as it is in heaven. May it be on earth. It's right out of Jesus' prayer. But it's also earth to heaven. We have a responsibility to bring heaven to earth and a responsibility to bring earth to heaven. And earth to heaven is the people around us that do not know Jesus Christ. So the spreading of the seed, the spreading of the gospel. And we're learning now to take over our mind, will, and emotions. Let's read on. So verse 18 says this. We'll drop down to verse 18. Therefore, Jesus explains the parable. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, That doesn't mean like, huh, I don't get it. It's someone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not comprehend it. In other words, they're not interested in taking hold of it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now, let me tell you, that happens with the gospel, but it also happens in other sectors of life. That if you do not attend to the seed that's come into your life, if you've received a prophetic word or you have a promise of some sort over your life, if you do not tend to it, it's possible it can get stolen. Well, how do you tend to it? I'm glad you asked that question. I'll tell you in a minute. But you got to tend your garden. You got to take care of your soul. Your soul and your heart is blended together for the purposes of what I'm talking about today. So when you hear heart in the scripture, it's talking about the combination of your spirit and your soul together. Many people believe that's the way it is anyway, so I feel good to share that. So then the wicked one comes, snatches it away. So there's seeds. Let's move the gospel over here, that illustration. We now have a new understanding, a template that can be applied everywhere in my life. If the seed is the seed of opportunity in your life, it has to be able to come to a heart that is broken, a heart that has been plowed, a heart that understands even how to self-plow their own hearts rather than just getting it all by the wounds and difficulties of the world. Because if you allow the world to do all the plowing in your heart, there's also the world is sowing seeds into your heart. And the Bible even talks about it. Be careful that a root of bitterness does not emerge in your heart. Isn't that interesting? Seeds are being sown all over of all kinds, you know. But your heart needs to be open to receive the things that God is sowing into your life. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. He who received the seed on stony places. This is the one who hears the word. Okay, same thing. All four hear the word. That's not a problem. And immediately receives it with joy. Woohoo! I like it. I'm going to get a new Cadillac. I'm going to get the house of my dreams. A prosperity gospel. It says, yet they have no root in themselves, but endure only for a while when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Now, that's a whole other story. I can preach a whole message on that. Psalm 105 is a great example of it. The story of Joseph, you know. It says the word fashioned him. When you receive something from God, you're like, woohoo, I received this blessing. Did you know that those things always come coded with development for your life? Even I saw a kind of a call from a guy on Dave Ramsey this past week. Maybe some of you saw it too. It was running around the internet, but it was a guy who won the lotto. After taxes, he had $22 million. And he hadn't told anyone. He'd already paid he's young. He's very faithful with the way he used money. He'd already paid his house off, paid his cars off. He's driving around in Toyotas. And they said, here's what we did. We changed nothing about our life. He said, because we heard that if people know that we have money, that we're going to have people standing at our door with their hand out every day. And it breaks relationships. It destroys people mentally. There was one of the largest ones ever won in West Virginia, probably about 8 or 10 years ago. The guy was already wealthy, $20 million. And he won $100 million or something. Like, it was a lot of money. And he said he passed away, or he even said this one day. He said, because there's so much calamity that came to his life, he said, if I had to do it over again, I would have never got that ticket. Well, let's just put it this way. Horrendous things that came into his life as a result of it, because the money that was there, that some people could not handle it. He was handling it, but others around him couldn't, and it caused a huge disturbance, destroyed his family. It was a horrible thing. It's an example of the seed that comes in that affects your life. So that if you're receiving seeds in your heart that are not kingdom of God seeds, it can cause havoc in your spirit and in your heart and in your emotions, in your mind, will, and emotions. And so the sowing of the seed, that's why we read the word. It's why we come to church, actually. We come to church for corporate preaching, which is a seed that goes in your heart. And right now, if you're attentive, if you're hearing, which is the qualification here, if you're hearing and you're comprehending, you're understanding, and you're going deep in your roots, this thing will not be plucked out of your heart. This thing will actually bear fruit in your life. He said, what do you mean by bearing fruit? I don't know, whatever area you're in, all the boats are gonna lift in that area. Even people around you are gonna be prosperous because of you being there. I love that about the kingdom of God. That's the blessing of Abraham. If the blessing of Abraham is awesome, and what we have in the New Testament is better, according to Hebrews, then it's better than the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham was that his family would be spread like sand over the entire world, and that they would become a blessing, and they would be blessed. They are being blessed to become a blessing. And so in God, when he gives you something, it's because there's something in you that it's a conduit that is being built that you might receive it into your hands. Learn to be a steward and release it to the place that God calls you to release it. Amen. And to those who, we'll see this in another parable down the road, but you take care of what God gives you, he cannot help. It's just the nature of God. He's going to increase it. I mean, he's just like, more. And you're like, whoa. I don't know anyone that probably says, no more. I mean, but they learn to channel it. They learn to take it in. Obviously, they have their personal needs or whatever in a family and friend, but they're pouring out. They're learning how to pour out. They're learning how to be generosity people and giving. So seeds receive with joy, but there's no root. When tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There's another one down. Verse 22. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Okay, there it is again. Here's the word. And the cares of this world. Aren't you glad we're in a season in America where there's no real cares in the world? What a peaceful time it is. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So I can preach a seed right now, a word that gets in you, and you're like, "Yo, I like that word. It was excellent. Wow, yes, let's practice that. Man, it's going to really do something in our life." And then Monday, a bill comes in. $5,000. What's $5,000? Oh, you remember it was delayed, remember, from last year, and there was a debate on what it really was. Well, that's the final price they get. $5,000. How am I going to pay $5,000? All of a sudden now, it's like, ooh, it's choking that word out. I'm telling you, this is just almost something you can predict. When you begin to desire to move in faith and you're excited about it, then your friends arrive. They go, "That's not gonna work. That'll never work." I mean, you remember when Nehemiah was building the wall in Nehemiah, in the Old Testament? He's building the wall and people came up and said, "If a fox ran upon it, it would fall." Those kind of encouragers. You know, it's interesting, they discouraged him, and when he didn't receive it, they told him to come down. When he didn't come down, it led to them hiring assassins to get rid of him. And they had to stand on the wall with their tool to build in one and a weapon, a sword, in the other hand. If you're gonna build anything in your life, you better get used to fighting while you're building. You're building something, people typically don't believe it until it starts making money or producing fruit, and they're all saying, "Hey, I was there with you, remember in the beginning." It's like, "I don't remember that. I was right there. I'm the one that gave you the idea, don't you remember? Just reminding you, I did give you the idea." I don't think you did give me the idea. Someone said that to me the other day, and I said, "Well, you weren't there. How could you give me the idea? I mean, ideas are floating around. I grabbed it. Even if you did give me the idea, I grabbed it. Why didn't you grab that idea?" And so the seed that's planted in our life begins to bear fruit, but if you let it, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches will choke the word out and you become unfruitful. And the whole purpose of this really is the fruitfulness of God, the kingdom of God, the fruitfulness of God. And the second subtitle underneath that is the receptivity of soil, that your heart has to be ready for what God's bringing. This is what I want to talk about this week and next week, though, the preparation of our heart. Go here as we finish this off here, verse 23. He who receives seed on good ground, what does that look like? I'll just tell you in a minute, is he who hears the word and understands it. So good ground is defined as hearing the word, understanding it, who indeed bears fruit. So somehow in the church right now, and I may feel sound like I'm in a bad mood today. I'm really not. I'm just having fun with it. But in the church right now, fruitfulness is like outlawed. We're not here about numbers. We're not here about just filling seats. Well, of course we're not, but yes, we are. Yeah, we want to grow. We want to grow. Growth is fruit. It's one form of it. You say, no, the fruit is about the development of people's hearts. Well, they control that. I can't go in and arrange their soil. They've got to take care of their plot of land. I'll give them teaching. I'll sow seeds. We will water. We will make sure they have a nice little greenhouse to live in so that they can grow properly. But ultimately, it's their responsibility. You know, it's your responsibility. Nobody wants to take responsibility nowadays for their failures. Nobody. It's always somebody else. And I understand other people affect things, make it hard to, but you have a choice somewhere, even when you're down, to say, I'm gonna break through this thing. I'm gonna come out of this. I'm down right now, but I'm gonna get back up. Some people just don't get back up. Ultimately, it's your responsibility for where you are. How we look, where we are, what we do, it's always our responsibility. And I know there's the yeah buts out there, the yeah but, yeah but, yeah but. I got them too, yeah but. But you know what? On the other side of that is not my will, but your will be done. On the other side of that is, through Christ, we are all conquerors. I mean, on the other side of that is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I've been in places where I've been, taken to ashes. And a scripture that I love out of Isaiah, you know, beauty for, it's actually, and Jesus used it as his life verse. Beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, garment of praise for spirit of heaviness. Like the great exchange of heaven. Take your ugliness, your difficulty, your challenge, and trade it in for God. He's got something better. He wants to give it to you. And so it's that the desire to say, I'm gonna rise up. I'm gonna get out of this. I'm gonna get my life together. I'm gonna allow my soil, my hardened soil, my heart to be plowed and see what God might do. In fact, Jesus was the greatest seed ever presented. Jesus was a perfect seed sown from heaven. And what was the problem? The soil. When that seed hit earth, in John, first chapter, what's it say? It talks about Jesus coming, that he was a light into darkness. And it says, and they did not comprehend it. See, the soil wasn't quite ready with the Jews. But boy, on the day of Pentecost, something broke open that soil, and 3,000 Jews came to know Jesus in one day. And not long after that, 5,000 mainly Jews came to know Jesus. I'm believing God for Beachwood. 80,000 Jews in this city. Let's believe that God's going to move among the Jewish community here in the city. So the soil rejected him. Jesus was tested by birds, the devil, testing, thorns, wilderness, and he found some good soil. And so here we are with our heart, inviting the soil, changing the soil, inviting the seed of God into our heart. What does it look like? What does it look like for finances? For God to sow in you, remember, we're the soil. It's our heart that determines if the seed grows. It's our heart determines if we have a harvest. It's our heart that needs to be worked on, and you are the steward of your heart. So you have to allow things in your life. There's an openness that needs to come so that it can be broken and open and plowed and raked and ready to receive the seed as it comes. So I'm thinking about finances. You know, if I prepared my heart for financial success, I would study that. I would read the Word of God about finances. I would open my heart. I would learn that if I want to be successful, I'm going to have to sow. I would start activating the principles. There's something in the church that has kind of shut the church down because we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that covers everything. And then they think, well, that means I don't have to do anything. I've had people say this to me. It doesn't matter what I do the rest of my life. My place is going to be, heaven's going to be my home. And I go, well, that's great, man, but, you know, it's 60 years from now. It's 50 years from now. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now to bear fruit in this land that the Lord's given us, to bear fruit in your life, that your life is actually fruitful before God, that you can present yourself before God? I mean, relationships. Young couple, I have an opportunity here because we've had over the years a lot of young adults work here. They're not yet married, and some of those have since become married. And I talked to them about it, you know, and I just said, you know what, you have to prepare the soil of your heart. But some of them, here's what they say. No one right now, so no one's going to feel bad about it. But some of them will say things like, I want someone who wants me for exactly who I am. You ever heard that? Really, you want people to know exactly who you are? Like, that may not be pretty. I don't know. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about the condition of the soul, the condition of the heart. The best thing you can do is be a learner and constantly be breaking open your heart, preparing your heart, making your heart into a garden of the Lord, allowing beautiful things to emerge out of their heart. You know what? Somebody's going to come along and sense the garden of God in your life and be highly attracted to that. That's how you attract men. That's how you attract women, is you take care of your life. By the way, you get out of your debt. It's a real mood killer when you get involved with somebody and they go, oh, by the way, I mean, we've really never talked about finances. Do you have any debt? Well, I do have $150,000 of school debt, but you know, I think the government's going to forgive it. But your job only pays $35,000. How are you going to pay it off? I don't know. I'm just believing God. What's it in? It's in basket weaving. I have a master's degree in basket weaving. See, all of that is about preparation. The Lord has called us to be fruitful in a challenging environment. He's called us that the seed, this is actually, oh, Joe, I'm going to go there, but this is like Eden. This seed is, did you know when the Lord planted the seed of Eden on the earth, it was without form and void? We could argue over how this all happened and what's going on there and everything. Was the devil actually occupying the earth? He did fall from heaven to earth. I mean, there's all kinds of weird things that you can study there in Genesis and what happened. But here's the point. The Lord said, fill, subdue, and rule. I believe personally the Lord's intent was that for that garden to expand. It was a beautiful dot in a broken world. And I believe that he said, be fruitful and multiply, tend and keep. So it's still out there. That mandate is still out there to you. Be fruitful, whatever that is in your life, be fruitful and multiply, whatever that means in your life. Be fruitful, multiply, which means there's gain out of your existence. You can't just sit home and play games all the time. You gotta eventually get out there, smell the air, speak to somebody, and see the power of God begin to move. When fruit comes forth in your life, you know, fruitfulness, which is like spiritual profit. Spiritual profit is exhilarating. If you've ever had financial profit, you get the exhilaration of profit. I mean, let's say you had a house, you had it for 20 years, you paid $200,000 for it. And then you didn't realize you're just working your job, doing life and everything. You didn't realize there's been appreciation and stuff going on. And you go to sell it and they go, well, it's gonna be somewhere like around $325,000 to sell this. And you're like, what? It's not worth $325,000. Well, yes, it is. All the house down the street from you sold $400,000. Well, then why aren't we asking $350,000? I mean, you know, immediately you get into it like, this is amazing. It's amazing. It's money. I didn't know I was going to get it. I forgot all about, you know, and here we are. We got profit. There's an exhilarating sense that comes into your body and into your soul and into your mind like, woohoo, I'm rich. You know, the same thing happens when you win a soul. When you win a soul, when you bear children, anything that's fruitful, anything that's expanded, when you get it, you get honors, you get expanded, you get, you know, advanced in your career, whatever it is, the Lord wants you to experience the sense of fruitfulness because he's called all of us from the very beginning to experience fruit in our lives. So what do? Let's all stand together. That's what we do. We deal with the soil of our heart. The Bible calls soil, this is the 10 different kinds of soil there is in a heart. There's good soil, hardened soil, deceitful soil, divided soil, broken soil, proud, uncircumcised soil, fearful soil, rebellious soil, and wicked soil. So our hearts, energized by the Holy Spirit, now have the ability to do something amazing in God. And that may be simply being faithful for 40 years where you are and doing, you know, having a great family that's going to be a part of change of culture and teaching them and equipping them and training them and being kind to your neighbors and things like that. That's fruit. That is fruit. But we're the ones that have to deal with our very soul in order to allow for that fruit to come forth. So let's just close our eyes and ask the Lord just to come in right now and touch the soil of our heart. We just pray, Lord, right now for a sensitivity to come into our hearts, Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit come right now into our hearts. Deal deeply with where we are, Lord, right now. Make our hearts open. We hear and we understand and we bear fruit. I pray out of this congregation, we will flourish, Lord. I pray for the bearing of massive fruits, new businesses, ministries, the planting of churches, the touching of souls that are lost, going into prisons, going into nursing homes, going into schools, seeing children baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, reaching cities, reaching a county, touching a state, impacting nations, whatever, Lord, we can do. Well, we yield our hearts right now, freshly, to you, Lord Jesus. And say, Lord, mold me, shape me, make me into your image, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. You can help us reach others by investing today at bethelcleveland.com/give.